Welcome to the Hair Metal Rules Podcast, where we celebrate all things 80s hair and glam rock. Join us as we dive into the world of spandex, big hair, and killer guitar solos with your host, Big J. From iconic bands like Motley Crue and Def Leppard, to the lesser-known gems of the era like Lillian Axe and Babylon AD, we cover them all. So grab your hairspray and leather pants, because it's time to rock out with the Hair Metal Rules Podcast. I like your music, man. You guys sound like straight off the 80s Sunset Strip, you know, slap you around a little bit, just hard driving music. I think it's great.
Thank you, man. Thank you. It's quite funny, actually, because I remember when we finished the album and it was me and the drummer, the old drummer in the car, listen to the album, and then we suddenly look to each other and then we start saying, it should sound more 80s. It's not 80s enough.
I think it's spot on 80s. I mean, you hear a lot of you hear some LA Guns, you hear a Rat twinges in there. I think you sound a lot like Jet Boy. Faster Pussycat, you know, you got that good sleaze, got that good sleaze sound going on.
Yeah, that's nice to hear, actually. And because most of the people, they just think most of the compares to Wasp all the time. And
oh, really?
I love Wasp. I mean, don't get me wrong, but it's so much Wasp that's like, I don't want to sound like a cover band or something, you know.
Sure, you want to have the sound, but you want to have your own
exactly
spin on things.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, my introduction to, of course, I'm 53, so I started listening to this music around 1985 in high school. You know, my introduction to Swedish bands were, of course, Europe.
Yeah.
Shotgun Messiah was one of my favorite bands back then. I thought Harry S. Cody, the guitar player, that guy's crazy.
Yeah, I love them as well. They're awesome.
I wish they still made music, but I know, you know, the Tim Skold, I think that's how he pronounced his last name. He's kind of more industrial metal type sound now.
Yeah, I know the singer. He still records some new albums. The last one was in Swedish, if I'm not wrong. Yeah, but he still recorded new music. The first singer, but
yes,
yeah,
the very first singer. Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. What got you? What are your influences? How old are you, may I ask?
Oh, it's too many. I don't even remember. I think it's 47.
You're 47?
Yes.
Okay, it's too many to remember.
Exactly.
I do that every day too, because every day I get up, I'm like, wow, I'm one day closer to 54. I think, but when I wake up every day, I feel like I'm 19. So as long as I keep that in my head, you know, I do okay with life. Does that make sense?
Yes, of course. When I wake up, usually I feel like 90.
My body feels that way. Yes.
Exactly. In my mind, it's like 15.
15, there you go. What were your musical influences growing up?
It's still the same as today. I mean, Motley Crue, Rat, Dokken. To be honest, all the bands of that area, the gold era, you know. So yeah, and I still listen to it every day. So since I was a teenager, so.
Well, you can see from my Instagram page, that's what I eat, sleep, breathe. I think it was the greatest era of time, era of music to have grown up. And I'm very happy that I grew up in the 80s. You grew up in you got the 80s, but you went into the 90s as well,
Yeah.
but I'm so glad I grew up in the 80s, because that music, there'll never be music like that again. And on my IG page, I try to do everything I can to, keep it going. I was always into the more lesser known bands. I was a big Fifth Angel fan. I was a big Hurricane Alice fan. Leather Wolf was one of my favorite bands. I always migrated towards those bands, and those are the ones I stuck to. But I still liked there's nobody like Rat.
Yeah.
There's nobody like Dokken, Motley Crue. But those guys, they made it big. But a lot of these little guys, that were there made just as good a music as
Yeah, I
Motley
agree.
Crue, but they didn't have record labels. And plus, the market got so flooded with
Yeah.
lookalikes back then. You really didn't stand a chance. But
Yeah.
I still like to pay homage to them on my IG page, and I like to.
Yeah, I always like your posts.
Well, I'm glad you like them too.
It's
I started out doing that Instagram page back when COVID was rampant, here in the United States, and across the world too. But I took some time, and I just started looking these guys up. I would pick like Leather Wolf and try to find these guys on the internet, see if they had other projects, and I mailed them stuff in the mail to see if they would autograph it for me. So then I just like, you know what? There's so many bands out there that a lot of people don't even know who they are. So I'm gonna start, if they've got a video, I'm gonna try to post a video. But now, there's not but so many videos that these guys put out. So now,
Yeah.
you hear an album, and you hear the one song that MTV played, or the one song that the radio played, but there's so many better songs on there. So I'm trying to post songs that I thought were pretty cool off the albums, and keep it going. But I enjoy doing it. Like I say, it's great music.
Yes, sometimes when I see you post something, yeah, it's not always I know the band, of course, and it's like, I should check this band. And then I start checking them. And it was one, I don't remember which one. And then I start searching for the vinyl to buy it. Yeah, but unfortunately it was not available. So
Some of them were never really on vinyl. It was just small record labels that they just put out a CD, or a lot of them were just, as I know I've said on my podcast before, I used to buy Metal Edge magazine and Rip magazine all the time in high school, and a lot of the bands on independent labels would, you could send $5 and they would send you a cassette tape. A lot of the bands on there, like there's a band, Roxy. I posted a band named Roxy. They had a Drive It To You Hard. Now, it actually came out on vinyl later, but I actually bought the cassette tape of that back in like
That's nice.
86, 87. And, a lot, not all of them. And some of them, if they do have an album, me personally, I can't afford it because it's a collector's item, and
Yeah, it's quite expensive. Yeah.
crazy.
Yeah,
So
it's crazy.
tell me how you guys all got together. What made you decide to want to start a band? And
Yeah, I had some previous bands before, and I stopped playing for almost 20 years. I was not playing at all. I was just studying, get a better job, these kind of things. And then suddenly I was like, shit. Why I'm not playing? It's something that I really love to do. And I answered this ad a band here in Gothenburg looking for a bass player. But I didn't like the guys at all. And after that, but I really want to play. And then I started playing a death metal band. That's not my thing at
It's not
all.
your thing, right.
And after three rehearsals, the same guys, they asked me to go there and rehearsal with them because they had a new guitar player. And this guitar player happened to be the singer in Smoking Snakes now.
Okay.
And then we start talking, and then we're like, yeah, but he was playing guitar at the time. I was like, shit, you sing better than the singer we have now. And we have the same taste of music because the other guys, they were like more punk. And we just decided to have our own band. That's how it happened. And it was quite fast after that, actually. It was 2 years ago.
And you got picked up by Frontiers Records, right?
Yeah, it was last year, yeah. After we released our EP with three songs. And the thing is, we tried to book some gigs, but no one was inviting us to gigs because we didn't have an album. So we decided to record an album to get more gigs. And after we record the album, we're like, okay, we have the album. What should we do now? And our manager at that time, he said, sent you Frontiers because I think you're quite what they want as a band. So, yeah, so they're interested and we signed the contract.
Frontiers, they I mean, I don't deal with record labels, but they seem to be they sign a lot of bands and seem like they want to try to keep this music alive. You know,
Yeah.
they've got some great acts on
Yeah, I
their label.
agree. I'd say if it was not Frontiers, most of the bands you disband already. Because
Sure.
Frontiers in the it's hard times still now, but before it was even harder. It was Frontiers that was keeping everything alive, this music alive, I believe.
Right.
So,
And
yeah.
that's good that there's still record labels out there that want to take a chance. I mean, I'm sure it's not like, you know, back in the day you got signed by Elektra Records or MCA Records. I'm sure it's different now, but actually getting your music put out there and put out to the masses, I mean, that's got to be. And plus now, it seems like it's I don't know how easy it is because I'm not a musician, I'm not a recorder, but you have an avenue now that you can, like this morning, you I don't know if it, who does the posting on your Instagram page, but y'all had to have a great weekend. Okay, that was posted and a bazillion people saw it in 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Back 35, 40 years ago, I mean, I talked to guys, on the podcast a lot, and you handed out flyers, you stapled them to telephone poles, and you had I talked to one guy, and they actually you had to pay. This was down in Hollywood. You had to pay the venue, and then the only way you recouped it was if you sold X amount of tickets. Then you had to go out
Yeah.
and sell tickets. But I think it's. What a point I was trying to make. I think it's easier for people to get their music out nowadays because of social media.
It's some good things, of course, but there's the bad things as well. It's like it's so many bands, so many music right now. And yeah, at the same time, it's quite, I think it's harder now in some situations than it was before. And I mean, I cannot say how it was before
Right.
because it
Yes.
didn't happen to us, but what I listen now, it's an, even to get gigs now, it's not that it's quite hard to get gigs now, I would say.
Do they have, still have? I mean, I don't. They still have places around Like I live in North Carolina. They still have places in North Carolina that, bands come to that are 80s hair metal, that are still touring. But do you have a huge metal scene in Sweden? I mean, do you have a lot of clubs, festivals?
Yeah, that's one of the things. One of the things you said before, it's like we never have this kind of music before. In that part, I disagree because at least here in Sweden, you have so many good bands doing this
Right.
kind of music. So many good bands. But suddenly, no one knows about them because first, you have a problem. I think it's not only Sweden, it's the whole world. The promoters, when they are organizing a festival or something, it's always the big bands first.
Yes. Right. Yes.
The public, they are begging for the big bands. They don't care about the new bands either.
Right.
Most of them, I would say. And it happens that the new bands doesn't get a chance to play,
Right.
doesn't get a chance to be a little bit bigger. It's always the same bands, always the same bands, like Docking, for instance. It's one of my favorite bands, top three bands, you know. Don Docking, it's like, I still get angry when people say that he can't sing anymore. It's Don Docking, please. But at the same time, it'll be a time that they'll not be here anymore, you know? And then we need to live from the past all the time.
Right.
It's sad. I don't want to live in a world that I want to listen to the same songs that was made 40 years ago. I want to listen to new bands, and there's a lot, but at the same time, it's really hard for a new band to get some extra nowadays, I would say.
see, here it seems in the United States is just my opinion, and whatever the United States, whatever is the next thing is what the United States moves to. Just like, okay, the 80s British pop, then you went into hair metal, then you went into grunge. Okay, seems like over in Europe, these bands from the 80s have always been just as popular as they always were, but the United States will kind of turn its back on things. And we're going with the next big thing that is gonna, pop and sell. And but I see videos of 80s bands, touring in Europe, and a lot of the bands they'll go to Europe, and they enjoy going over there because they still get the crowds they had in the 80s, and it's the excitement. And around here, sometimes Americans get a bit lackadaisical about things and about life, and
Yeah, it's not on the mainstream how it was before. It's more underground, I would say. But it's you here, you know. You should be happy about that, and I think we should support more of that.
But
So.
do you guys play a lot? Do you go on tour or anything?
No, that's one of the things. Being completely honest with you, we didn't have been playing since we released the album. We didn't even get one gig after release the album. And it's because one of the things is like for the festivals, they prefer to have big band playing. And when these big bands are touring in Sweden, if you are underdog like us, you need to pay to play. And it's like, no, you're not going to do that, you know. And there are some small venues that we could play, but it's like you go there. You need to bring your own equipment to play, and at the end, you pay to play anyway because you need to pay for gas, you need to pay for your own beers, you know, and the venue take the money that they have. So it's like, why? It's pointless to do that. I prefer being home, drink my beer, and be with my family. You know what I mean?
Sometimes I guess I get the wrong impression because, I see you guys on YouTube. I see your videos, and you think, well, these guys are doing well and touring, you have to hear it. You have to hear it from somebody's mouth to get a real perspective on.
But I hope things will start getting better for next year. We start producing our new album, and we have something coming up for next year, like a tour or something. I mean, it's not this not confirmed yet, but at least it seems that it'll be a better year than this year. So let's see.
Well, hopefully it will be. Hopefully you guys will, get out and be able to go somewhere and tour and play your music. Because I think it would be frustrating as an artist. You guys have some killer music, and you got a killer look about you.
Thank you.
Who gets to see it if they won't put you out there and let you tour to let everybody hear about it?
Yeah, and then there is some other thing as well. It's like some bands, it's like, how can I explain that? It's really hard to get something. Yeah, I don't know how even to explain, but it feels like some other bands, they're like, you need to pay to play to a big band, or you need to have some friends, common friends.
Connections.
Exactly, connections. It's everything about connections. If you think that I was thinking before, oh, we have good songs, we are going to start doing gigs, but have connections, it's more important than have good songs. Exactly, because it's not easy to have connections. First, because for me at least, I can talk to someone that I don't like just because I'm interested on get some advantage on the person. It's
Sure.
like I cannot do that, you know.
Right.
I can't. Yeah, so it's really hard for me at least to get some connection. It's more like people that should approach us and oh, I like, then we can start have a conversation because I cannot. It feels so wrong for me to this kind of thing. So yeah, maybe that's the reason we
Well, no,
still.
you're an honest person. I understand exactly what you're saying. I mean, I'm like you. I'm just not going to butter up to somebody and pretend and blow smoke and pretend like I like you just to get something out of you. I want to genuinely
Exactly.
like you and know that not only you have my best interests at heart, but I have your best interests at heart too. You know,
Yeah.
we'll work together and we'll make it happen. But you know, you hear so many stories about even back in the 80s, it's just things were cutthroat. You had these bands that signed these big deals, and then you got the managers that are getting astronomical amounts of money. Then you got to pay the record company, and then you got to do this, and then they made a lot of money, but a lot of them were broke pretty quick.
Yeah, and one of the things we realized as well is some bands, not every band, but some bands, they tend to be a bit jealous. So they're like, and they have connections, and they start, no, don't invite this band because they feel jealous. I don't know what I really don't know, but they feel something. So it's always these. Yeah, you know what I mean? It's really hard to explain these kind of things,
Sure.
and I'm a bit
I get
worried to
you.
say the wrong words here.
No,
But
I understand what you're saying, man. I get what you're saying. It's, you know, you guys have an album. You want to go out and play your music. You know, you want to be successful, but it just seems like right now in the period we're in right now, you just seems like you get a lot of doors slammed in your face, and you don't really, like I said, a bigger band's going to get to go on tour before you guys will. And it's a shame that it's that way. But
yeah, but I mean, I'm not playing the victim here. I
sure.
know it is what it is, you know.
Yeah.
It is what it is. So yeah, and I'm not doing this to become famous or become
Right.
rich because I think it's never going to happen,
It's never going to happen.
unfortunately.
Yeah.
I just do it because I love this. I
Yeah.
love doing music. I love this kind of music. So I don't care. I just do it for my personal happiness. That's all. If it happens to something happens and yeah, then it's perfect. If it doesn't happen, I will continue doing anyway.
But you're doing it for the right reasons, but you still want to be able to get out and actually do it.
Yeah.
Exactly, of course.
Your heart's in the right place, but you want your heart to be projected to people through your music and let them hear what you're all about. I understand that.
Of course.
So I take it all you guys have day jobs.
Of course. And we are very boring persons and
Right.
normal persons, you know.
You're not boring people. You just that you just you're like a lot of bands. I talk to guys and either you talk to them and they're still out there in some band. I don't care what band I'm in, but I just want to be playing music. I might get paid $100 for a gig, but I want to be playing music. Or you talk to them and they tell you, I haven't picked a guitar up in 30 years. I left that and I don't, I like to, I'll we'll talk about it, about the good old days, but man, I left that behind a long time ago and I've got another career,
We are very honest about this. We are not pretend to be someone else that we are not like, oh, we are going to parties every day. We have lots of cheeks and blah, blah. No, we are honest about that,
Wow. I like to talk a lot to guys from the 80s, the whole Sunset Strip thing, it fascinates me. And those guys will tell you pretty quick, it was crazy, it was wild, we lived the life. When it all came crashing down, you got up the next day and you're like, I've even talked to guys before that your video is premiering on MTV on the Headbangers Ball tonight, but your record company dropped your contract. You're no longer under the record label. Just that fast, back in the 80s, toward the end of the 80s. And man, that's a smack in the mouth there. We're gonna be on the Headbangers Ball Saturday night, but we don't have a job anymore. So lots of fun,
God.
guys.
Yeah, I remember it was in 2016. I went to Monsters of Rock Cruise. It was the one from Los Angeles. It was the special. And then it was my first time in US, and I met a lot of people that was living in the US in Sunset Strip in the 80s. And all the stories, I was feeling like I was in Disneyland, you know. I was like, God. And then it was a very nice and funny morning. I was going to take some breakfast. And the guy I met the night before, he was, Andy, come here. And they were drinking. I was like, God. And then on the same table was him, Timmy Downey from Foster Pussycat. It was Rick Rettman from
Headbangers
Headbangers
Ball.
Ball on the same time, and I sit in the same table as the guys, and I was like, God, that's like a dream. And then Timmy Downey and Rick Rettman, they start talking about a party in the 85 or 86 with Motley Crue, and I was like, just am I dreaming? You know, I'm fascinated about that as well.
Well, I love, I don't know if you've ever listened to one of my podcasts or not, but
Yeah, of course I did.
good. I'm glad. Thank you. I love to get these cats to talk about the 80s and Sunset Strip and any story they can tell me. Some of them will talk to you like David Reese that was in Bangalore Choir and Accept. He said that he would find a car that was unlocked at night and slide in the back seat and sleep in the back seat and hope he could get up early enough to go out the other side before the person went to work. Or just it wasn't all debauchery and all, but it was all about girls. It was about drinking. It was about drugs. It was about, filling up the whiskey a go-go, the Rainbow Room. And the only exposure I have to that, and I've told on my show before, is Decline of Western Civilization, that movie, and just things you see. And some of those guys, it was tough for them, but a lot of them, like the Rats and the Poisons and the Motley Crues, I mean, they were kings. They did what they wanted to do. But like you say, I love to hear them tell stories, and some of them won't tell stories because they've got a wife now and they don't want to divulge into too many things, but they're good-hearted about it, and they're happy that they experienced that whole scene, you know.
Yeah, it was like I would love to be on that on their places.
Yeah, I would love to have a
So
time machine and go back in time just
yeah.
one time and walk the strip one weekend and just see all these bands back in the heyday. I think that would be great.
Exactly.
But you know,
Yeah.
you talk about Tommy Down. Me and my wife go to the M3 Rock Festival every year in Maryland. And the first year we went, somebody wasn't going to be there on Sunday, so they asked us. We were up in the grass. They asked us, "Do we want their seat?" So for Sunday, so we did, and we got there a little bit early. We're sitting down, and this guy walks out holding a little dog. And I told my wife, I said, "There's the lead singer for Faster Pussycat." We were like real close to him, and he was such a nice guy. You know, I was like a kid. You know, I was like a kid in the candy store. You know, and I was like, "Can I please take my picture with you? Can I please have your autograph?" But every year we go to that, and we've met some cool guys, and I stay in contact with them, like Steve Blaze from Lillian Axe and Steve Summers from Pretty Boy Floyd, and you know, some other guys, and even trying to get people to do it's hard to get some of these guys to do a podcast because they're busy, they're always doing something, and you know, you don't want to hound people. I'll hound so much and then I back off because I don't want to think like this guy's a nut. You know, he's
I know what
the
you mean.
crap out of me, you know, but and they'll just blatantly give me their cell phone number. Look, don't talk to me. Here's my cell phone number, text me. And I've just kept their numbers in my phone, and you know, I ask them how they're doing, or they'll say, "Hey man, we're gonna be in NC, you know, if you guys are interested in coming." But yeah, the whole Sunset Strip thing, and it's I want to go on a Monsters of Rock cruise sometimes. I think that would be just the ultimate, being that close to those guys.
Yes, it definitely is. It's amazing. Unfortunately, I didn't have the chance to come back because after that I have the daughter. She's 3 years. Then me and my wife, we have been planning to go maybe next year, but now she's pregnant. So
Oh, okay. So you got a little one coming. Oh, I see.
yes, so at
Congratulations.
least thank you. So now it'll be at least 2 or 3 years to go again. So
That's kind of one of the things you got to save up. Me and my wife, we save up money all year long so we can go to, you know, M3. If there's closer concerts around here, you know, we'll go to them. Like, we're not far from Raleigh, North Carolina, which is, you know, the capital, and there's some clubs there. I know we went and we saw Wasp there back a year and a half ago. And all these bands, you know, being on the East Coast, you know, I went to concerts as a teenager, but a lot of these bands, they never came. You know, you just saw them in a magazine or you saw them on MTV. So I never got a chance to see them. So going to M3 is a thrill for me, even if it's only two original members of the band. They're still out there playing. Like we saw Y&T last year, and I've always been a Y&T fan, and the only original member of Y&T is Dave Menichetti, you know. But I got to see them, and they played all the, you know, songs I wanted to see. We of course we've seen Vane was always one of my favorite bands in the day. We saw them, and it was the original lineup. I always loved Bullet Boys. They were the couple of years ago, the original members, all four of them were out there. So it's neat that they keep that going and bring those bands, you know, year after year. I never saw a Sepp before, the German band, and first year we ever went, they were there, and I was like, wow, you know, that's, you know.
I remember one band that I was like, I never thought that would be possible. And I saw them at Monsters of Rock Cruise was Vain.
Oh,
And I was
yeah.
like, I need to try. Then I was drinking some beer. And then when I saw Dave Vain close to me, I was like, I really need to talk to this guy. And I have
Yeah.
some pictures with him, you know. But I have the same concern. I don't want to be like that guy, so annoying. So I need
Yeah.
to polish myself all the time.
I don't want to be a pest. What's a good thing? The neat thing about M3, my wife, she's like, you know these people. You know what the 10 bands they've been in their lifetime. You know what they look like, because when we're sitting there in between sets, you have like 30 minutes for the next band. They'll be walking around, and I'm constantly on the lookout. And I'll walk up to them casually, like two of the guys from Vain, the drummer and the second, the rhythm guitarist. They were standing behind us, drinking a beer, and I walked up to them, real, and they were so nice. And Tommy Ricard, the drummer, he's actually done the podcast, and Heaven's Edge was always a favorite band of mine, and Reggie Woo, the guitar player, he was walking around shaking people's hands that he knew in the audience. And I walked up to him, and he was nice, and I had to pay $20 to get a picture with Steve Summers, because you had to do a shot with him. But once I got up there to him, he was just the nicest guy. Just these guys are, I think they're just glad that people still want to come out and see them.
Yeah,
Play
definitely.
what people want to hear. Don't play this new stuff you're bringing out. Play the stuff they wanted to hear that they heard when they were in high school, and you'll sell out all the time.
Yeah, I agree.
What do you think of the United States? Is that the first time you've ever been in the United States?
Yes, it was the first time. It
What do you
was
think about the US?
oh, I love it. I was in LA,
Mm-hmm.
and it was a dream come true, actually. And I remember going to Sunset Strip, and I was like, because I always have been fascinating about,
Right.
as you said. And I remember we had like a guy that was showing everything to us. And when we went to Whiskey a Go Go, he was like, oh, go to that building that was quite close. And I was like, okay. And he was like, you see that apartment? It was Motley Crue were living before. And I went to some parties with them. I was like, no, you must be joking. He showed me some pictures with
Yeah.
Nick Six back. And I was like, oh, God. Yeah, it was. I love it. I really want to come back, actually.
The Motley House was what was up on the hill, I think, right
Yeah.
behind the whiskey, something like that.
Yeah,
I've
a bit. Yeah.
seen on television. Yeah.
Yeah, it was like a dream come true, actually.
Crazy scene in the 80s back then. And like I said, I'm real glad. I'm not too much older than you, so you lived through it too,
Yeah.
but I'm so glad that the music that you listen to in your teen years has followed you into the sound and the look and the music you're trying to produce now. And man, I hope you guys next year, I hope 2025 is a good year for you, and you get on tour, you get people get out, and people get to see you. Because I mean, you
Thank
guys
yeah.
have some. I love your music, man. I'm telling you. I told you my wife was going to be on here with me, because I had, and the reason why I sent you a second thing last night is I had the times reversed. 4 p.m. there, we kept Googling, and Erica's like, no, it's 10 a.m. here, it's 4 p.m. there. You have to remember that. So that's why. But anyway, I was posting, I posted you guys on my Instagram page this morning and tagged you in. I was like, you got to listen to this. I said, this is the fella I'm gonna be talking to this morning. I said, you need to listen to these guys smoking snakes on the way to work. I said, and turn it just as loud as you possibly can, because she has like a 40-minute drive to work. I said, y y you'll love it, because she's gotten into the whole metal hair metal. I think she just does it because I enjoy it and I get a kick out of it. So,
But yeah, but thank you anyway. And yeah, I saw when you published on Instagram, we shared already.
Yes, thank
And
you.
I love this kind of videos you do. You know, it's short with then the band's name, with the cover album.
Yes.
It's really, really nice.
And I try to put, I don't think a lot of people, a lot of people don't catch on if it's a song that I can put a GIF with, a movement with that makes sense with it. That's why those are at the bottom. And but some of them, you can't fit one in. But yeah, I always try to put the video and a picture of the band and the band's logo and maybe some kind of a GIF down there if I can. It explains. And a lot of people are like, okay, who is the band and what's the name of the song? I'm like, hey, this is the band and this is that. But that's fine. They're asking who you are.
But and it's quite funny. But when I see your posts on Instagram, it's the kind of thing that warm my heart. You know, it's like, wow, it's like watching TV and watching MTV at that time at Headbangers Ball and some other band pop ups when you're not expecting. It's like, oh wow,
Well, I appreciate
it's
that. And
it's really nice.
the videos, I always try to get it to the best part of either the first chorus or sometimes the first chorus in some of these band songs isn't that long, but then the second chorus, it'll be a little bit longer. And then I could put some of the guitar in there. And I'm glad you like it. I spend,
Love it.
I take a couple of days and just try to make those things ahead of time and save them on my iPhone. That way, that morning I can go in there and pop them on there, and they're already moving, and the effect is on there, and I can type whatever I want to type about it and tag folks. But I appreciate you. I appreciate
Yeah, I
you liking
appreciate,
it.
and I'm pretty sure it's not only me. A lot of people that, I mean, we're fans of music, you know, this kind of music.
Sure.
And I'm pretty sure every fan of this kind of music appreciate what you do.
Well, I
I'm
hope
pretty
so.
sure.
I
I'm pretty
started out
sure.
with I don't have 10,000 subscribers, but I've worked hard to get to 3,000, and I never thought I would ever get that high. So I'm a happy guy. I just want to
Don't
make
mean
people happy and make people like you said, hey, I need to check this band out. I've never heard this band before. And that's spreading the word and keeping the music alive.
Yeah, in the end, we are so obsessed with numbers nowadays that I think you should just worry about quality,
Right.
about the people that you can bring to your page. I think that's more important.
Well, it's like the podcast. I get discouraged with the podcast because my podcast is not big. It's never going to be big. And I finally,
Never say never.
well, I know, but a lot of them, it's more production and the video is on there for YouTube, and a lot of the guys that I interview, they're like, I do not want a video put up. Sure, that's why I only use audio portion of stuff, which is fine. And but I have, out of the 22 podcasts that I put, 1,000 people, 1,600 people have listened to all 22 of them. That's fine. But now I want to do it because I enjoy doing it, because I'm talking to people like yourself, and I'm talking to people that I never imagined I would ever talk to when I was 16 years old at 53. Does that make sense? It's a thrill for me now. I'm actually talking to heroes, and I like that a lot.
Yeah, I think in the end we're very similar. What we're doing here, we're not doing creating some expectations. We just do it because it makes us happy, right?
There you go. I need to have your philosophy. I'm not in it. I'm not in it to get rich. I'm in it because I love to do it.
Exactly.
But if getting rich just happens to follow along with it, now we'll go with that too. So,
Yeah, of course, definitely.
well, Andy, I do appreciate you being on the podcast so much.
I appreciate that.
And
Thank you
I wish
for
you guys the
inviting me.
best of luck.
Thank you, thank you.
And don't be a
Hope
stranger. We're gonna keep in contact on Instagram.
Yeah, definitely. If one day you want to come to Sweden to have some beers, you know who
Okay.
to talk. And if I hope one day we're going to play in US, we'll let you know as well so we can meet and have some beers together.
I'll do everything I can to make it there.
Yeah,
Well,
cool.
you have a good day, sir, and God bless you, and God bless the rest of
Thank
the band, and
you.
best of luck
You
to you.
too. Thank you for you too, Jeremy. Nice
Take care,
talk to
sir.
you. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You know, a few weeks ago, I put a post on my Instagram page asking anybody, new bands, if they wanted to do my podcast, and I was surprised when Andy from Smoke and Snakes sent me a message and said they would be glad to be on the podcast. It's nice to know that the podcast and the Instagram page has reached Sweden. I do have some listeners on my podcast that are from Sweden. It's neat that they wanted to be on it, and it was fun talking to Andy, just listen to his perspective about things. You see these guys with these huge videos and production and all on Instagram, and you think they're just huge, big, but to hear Andy talk, they don't really tour that much. I really hope these guys make it. They've got a great sound. This album could have been straight out of the 80s if it had been produced back then. And I hope they're successful. I wish Andy the best of luck and the band the best of luck. Before I close out the podcast, today is Tuesday, and my daughter's birthday is on Wednesday. She'll be 25 years old. I don't know if she listens to the podcast or not, but Chloe, I want to wish you a happy birthday. I hope you have the best day ever. I miss you. I love you. It's hard to believe that you're grown up and 25 years old now and a grown woman out on your own. Like I said, I love you. I miss you. Happy birthday, boo. Have a great day, guys, and thank you for listening to the Hair Metal Rules podcast. As always, I appreciate you. Thank you, and God bless.